Always feels like we're in a movie, doesn't it? Kind of cool. So January's over almost. How's the New Year's resolutions going? Yeah, that's what I thought. So have you enjoyed Stratagem? It's been a great series, very important series, looking at the war for our souls because we are in a war. And we have a very real enemy that wants nothing more than to destroy us and to undermine our faith, to undermine everything God wants to do in our lives. And he is God's enemy. He's opposed to everything that God is about. And specifically, he's opposed to the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, because he knows that in Jesus Christ, he's defeated, right? And that's something that we have to keep in mind as we go through this. Now, we live our daily lives in the physical realm, and so I realize sometimes it's easy to just lose sight of the spiritual realm. But it is real. And anybody who has ever had an intimate encounter, a tangible encounter with the forces of the enemy, will never forget that. That is why, in preparation for this series, Chad, one of our teachers, asked our teaching team to watch a movie called The Conjuring, which is about demon possession. Now, I am not in any way asking you to go see that movie, okay? And Chad probably wouldn't either. He just wanted us to wrap our minds around the issue of what can happen in the spiritual realm. And that movie was so scary to me, I had to watch it in 10-minute increments in my office with all the lights on and people around. And it took me 2 weeks to get through the film. And even then, I had to go to the office of a coworker and ask him to hold me for a moment. So thank you, Chris, for that. So the movie was scary to me, not because the movie is real, okay, but because the spiritual realm is real. And we've been learning about that. And each week, Scott has had us read this verse from 1 Peter 5:8. And would you read it with me? It says, "Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." That word devour is a very strong word. But the interesting thing about this is, though our enemy wants nothing more than to destroy us, he is hell-bent on destroying us, honestly, he doesn't have to do all that much. He actually can kind of sit back and watch what transpires because he has a faithful ally on his team. And that faithful ally is somebody who does most of the devil's work for him. Who is that ally? Well, for today's purposes, we're going to call it the enemy within. And the enemy within is a very important part of the devil's strategy against us. You've probably heard the phrase, "I'm my own worst enemy," right? And that is no more true than in the spiritual realm. So it's very important for us to kind of grasp this idea of the enemy within. Now, you may be thinking it's not that relevant to you. And so I'm just going to run a few scenarios by you, and you tell me whether it's relevant or not, okay? If you have ever battled a habit or addiction with every intention, only to find yourself stumbling once again, then you've faced the enemy within. If you've ever tried to let go of a situation where you're hurt or offended, only to start dwelling on it again, you've faced the enemy within. If you've ever looked in the mirror and seen only your failures and inadequacies staring you in the face, if you've ever had a vision to do something great you knew God had called you to do, but discouragement came in and paralyzed you, if you've ever doubted in your heart whether God really exists or whether he cares about you, you face the enemy within. How are we doing so far? Yeah. If you've committed to pray more, read the Bible more, love more, only to find your resolve wear thin. If you've ever had a temptation pop into your mind that was so disturbing, you questioned your sanity. If you've ever questioned whether anyone loves you, or if life is even worth living, then you have faced the enemy within. See, the enemy within is a part of life. And so if you're here today and none of those things applied to you, none of those things have ever happened to you, when we bow and go to prayer, you can sneak out the back. You don't have to stay and go apply for a job as a robot or something because you're not human. Right? So this is where we're going today. It's one thing to face that enemy out there, totally different thing to face the enemy in here. So let's pray and ask for God's help in that. Heavenly Father, I do thank you so much for the opportunity for us to gather like this and to quiet our souls a little bit and hear from you. And we desperately want that today. And God, I think there's many people in this room that probably have had good intentions in terms of following you. And yet, they themselves have gotten in the way of that in some way. And so, God, I know that your Holy Spirit is present in this room, that your Holy Spirit is present in the lives of those who follow you. And so, Holy Spirit, we just want to say you are welcome here today. We want to invite you to come, speak to our hearts, do a work in us that draws us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, quick question for you guys. Who in here finds it easy to follow Jesus? You know, you'd think over your life of following Christ, you've got it nailed. Nobody. Interesting. Yeah, there are no super Christians, apparently. If there ever were, it would be the Apostle Paul. I love the Apostle Paul. He wrote most of the letters in the New Testament. I'm amazed at his faith. And that's why I'm encouraged by what he writes in Romans chapter 7. See if you relate to this. Starting in verse 15, he says, I don't really understand myself. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And then this last part I put in your notes. And so if you've got your notes with you, take those out. He says, and I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. If you're taking notes today, underline those two words, sinful nature. That's going to be important to us. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. Can I get an amen? Amen. Yeah. You relate to this. It's like Paul's schizophrenic, really. Like he's talking about two different people, but he's really just talking about himself because it's one person with two natures. This God-given desire to do what is right and then what he calls the sinful nature, right? So if we're going to deal with the enemy within, we have to understand the battle between two natures. The battle between two natures. See, if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, I love what the Bible says about you. It says a bunch of things about you. It says that you're a new creation, that you've been forgiven. It says that when Christ looks at you, when God looks at your life, he doesn't see your sin. He sees Christ's righteousness. All of those things are true. But another thing that's true is you've got two natures, and they're doing battle with each other. And that's why Paul sounds like he's talking about two people. He's really just talking about his two natures that are doing battle. Now, the best illustration I've seen to illustrate this is the character Smeagol, or Gollum, from The Lord of the Rings. Love Gollum. And you've probably seen this scene before, but this time I want you to watch it through the lens of what we just read in Romans chapter 7. So let's check this out.
Must have the precious. They stole it from us. Sneaky little hobbitses. Wicked, tricksy, fierce. No, no. Must.
Huh?
Yes, precious, fierce. They will cheat you, hurt you, lie. Must is my friend. You don't have any friends. Nobody likes you.
Not listening. Not listening.
You're a liar. And a thief.
No.
Murderer. Go away. Go away!
you. Hate you.
Where would you be without me? Ellen! Ellen! I saved us. It was me. We survived because of me. Not anymore. What do you say? Master looks after us now. We don't need you. What?
Leave now and never come back.
No! Leave now and never come back! Leave now and never come back!
We told him to go away. And away he goes, precious. Gone, gone, gone! Smeagol's free!
Isn't he great? So we might not be as crazy as Gollum. Maybe not as good looking as Gollum. But we're just like him. Honestly, we are just like him if we follow Christ, because we have two natures that are opposed to each other, okay? Paul already mentioned one of them. He called it the sinful nature. And every single human being has that. We all have a sinful nature. But for those of us who've chosen to follow Jesus Christ, God, from the moment we decided that, placed something inside of us, right? What did he put in us? The Holy Spirit, God himself. And the Holy Spirit actually lives in us and battles our sinful nature. So this is how Paul puts it in Galatians 5:16. He instructs us, he says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires." These two forces are constantly doing what? Fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. There is constantly a battle going on inside of you between the two natures. And so if we're going to live the Christian life the way that God intended us to, we have to understand this battle. It's critical for us. So today I'd like to show you an image that has been helpful to me in understanding the battle. And I think for many of you today, this might be a breakthrough for you, because it's very important for us to understand this. So as you can see, I've drawn three circles. I drew these ahead of time because I did not want to attempt to draw a circle in front of you. It would have been disastrous. But this represents a human being. Okay, this is one way to look at human beings. Every human being has a body, a soul, and a spirit. Now, our body is our world awareness. World awareness. It's how we interact with the world. So it's our senses, what our touch, our smell, our taste, those kinds of things. Our soul is our self-awareness. So this is how we interact and communicate with ourselves. So it could be our emotions, could be our thoughts that we have in our mind. And animals have this. This is what distinguishes us from animals. They have world awareness. They have self-awareness. But when God created human beings, he did something very special, didn't he? And he breathed into us a spirit. And the spirit is our God awareness. The way we interact with God and communicate with God in our spirit. Now, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve were created, their body, their soul, their spirit put together was the uncorrupted human nature. And I'm going to represent that by attempting to draw a tree. So that's what that is. That's a tree from the Garden of Eden. So that's the uncorrupted sinful nature. It's uncorrupted because God out here and our spirits were free to connect with each other. There was nothing between us. So our spirit, Adam's spirit, Eve's spirit, connected with God's spirit directly. It was a wonderful thing. But then something changed, right? What happened? sin, right? They ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and sin came between us and God. Okay, so now all of a sudden, our spirit is not free to communicate with God's spirit because God is holy and he cannot tolerate sin. And sin now has come between us. And along with that, when this sin came into the world, our uncorrupted human nature became sinful. So we now have a sinful nature. We now have a sinful nature. Well, here's the interesting thing. Before God, before the sin came into the world, sin came into the world. This is a chain. It doesn't look like a chain. But this sinful nature is chained to our body, our soul, and our spirit. So we can't get away from it. It's bound to us. It has power over us. Now, anybody who, you know, here's an example of who understands this. Dads with daughters. Dads with daughters understand this chain, because that boy, when he comes to pick up your daughter, doesn't matter how nice he is, you know he has a dark side, right? He has a dark side. And that's because every single human being, from the time that Adam and Eve first sinned, is now born with this sinful nature. Well, what's cool about this is God didn't leave us alone, did he? He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to come take our sin upon himself, put it to death on the cross. And when he did that, he placed his Holy Spirit inside of us. So he bridged the gap of sin, and he actually lives inside us. And now all of a sudden, our spirit is free to commune again with God. Now, this is my favorite part of this. When this happened, the chain is broken. The chain is broken. The power of the sinful nature is broken. It is still there in our lives, but its power has been broken. Does this sort of make sense? Now, we're going to come back to this, and hopefully you'll have this in your mind as we go through the rest of this. But the question is, why does this matter so much? Why is it important for us to understand the dynamics of this battle between the Holy Spirit and the sinful nature? Well, it's important because once you understand this, then you realize you are not alone. The sinful nature has no power over you. You realize that the power of the sinful nature has been broken. Now, see, that's because before I knew Christ, it was just me against the sinful nature. I was battling the sinful nature alone, and it had power over me. It had control over me. But now that I have Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit has come into my life, and now suddenly there's a partnership between me, my spirit, and the Holy Spirit. So let's take a little bit of time to look at the partnership between the Holy Spirit and me. The partnership. I understand following Jesus is not easy. It's not easy for me. I fail at it often. I realize it's because, like Scott talked about last week, the world system is designed to distract us from our spiritual growth. Everything about the world system distracts us from the kingdom of God. And because of that, the sinful nature partners with the world system to battle us. It seems impossible to combat that force. It's just so overwhelming. And it is impossible if we're on our own, right? But we're not on our own. We're not on our own. We have the Holy Spirit. The power of the sinful nature has been broken through his Spirit. Jesus spoke about this partnership in John 14:26. So this is before he left the earth. He's talking to his disciples. He says, "But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, what will he do? He will teach us everything. He'll remind us of everything that I have told you." I love that word, advocate. Do you realize, have you even thought about the fact that you have an advocate in the Holy Spirit? You have an advocate. So think about in your life, have you ever had an experience where it seemed like everyone was against you? Everybody was, maybe at work, a situation at work, or maybe sports, or you got in trouble with the law, or something. It seemed like everyone was against you, and then all of a sudden one person stood up for you. Have you had an experience like that? That one person is an advocate. And we have an advocate. And it's tragic because so many of us throw in the towel when it comes to fighting our sinful nature. We say, oh, it's too hard. And it is hard. It is hard. We say, it's too hard. I can't do, why even try? Because we don't realize we have an advocate. We have somebody on our team, a partner in the battle. So you cannot defeat the sinful nature on your own. Do you realize that? Nobody can defeat the sinful nature on their own. You need the Holy Spirit to do his part. And when you yield to the Holy Spirit, he will do his part. What's his part? I'm super excited about our next couple of series. After we're done with Stratagem, we're going to do 4 weeks on prayer. And then we're going to spend 2 whole weeks looking at the Holy Spirit and what is the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But today, let me just give you a quick flyby of what the Holy Spirit does for us. Did you know he convicts us of sin? So when you realize that you have sinned, he's the one that shows you. He prompts us into action, gets us to move. He prays on our behalf. So when I can't even think of the words to pray, the Holy Spirit prays for me. He empowers us for service. He helps us to understand God's word. When you open up the word and you understand it, that's the Holy Spirit. He guarantees our salvation. He comforts us and he gives us joy. What a great advocate, right? A great ally to have on our team. And when we yield to the Holy Spirit, all of those things I just mentioned are at our disposal. But here's the catch. We cannot defeat the sinful nature without the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will not defeat our sinful nature without us. It's a true partnership. And so we need the Holy Spirit to do his part, but we also have to do our part. So let's get kind of practical about this. What do we do? What do we do to partner with the Holy Spirit? How exactly do we yield to the Holy Spirit? So let's look at my role in the battle. I grew up playing baseball, and I like to watch baseball. A lot of people don't like baseball because it's kind of boring sometimes, long stretches, I understand that, but I like to watch it because of the strategy of baseball. And I played second base, and I remember my coaches just pounding into me that I have a specific role to play given any scenario, right? So depending on where the batter hits the ball, I, as the second baseman, have a specific role. And I do remember this one incident where I lost sight of my role, and the shortstop and I tried to occupy the same physical space, okay? And our heads hit each other, and then I got drilled by the ball in the worst possible place and was down for the count. And I learned my lesson on that day. The play doesn't work unless everyone fulfills their role, including myself, right? Now, in the battle against the sinful nature, when we fail, it's not because the Holy Spirit did not fulfill his role. He always does. He always does. His role is to prompt us, to nudge us, as Jesus said, to teach us and to remind us. What do you think our role is? Listen and respond. Listen and respond. So I just would like you to do a quick inventory, if you will, in your soul. Okay, so use your self-awareness to do an inventory. And I'm just going to ask you a couple questions. How often do you, throughout your day, check in with the Holy Spirit? Are you even aware he's there? How often when you're about to make some kind of a decision in your life, do you ask the Holy Spirit to lead you? Do you think about maybe what God's word says about what you're about to do? Because the Holy Spirit is doing his job. He is speaking to you and I. We just kind of have to turn into the frequency, you know, tune in like a radio station. You know a radio station, you have to get on the right signal. If you're not on the right signal, what do you get? Static, tons of static. Well, the partnership between our sinful nature and the world system creates a ton of static. And so it's critical for us to be intentional about checking in with the Holy Spirit. He speaks to you. He speaks to you in your spirit because he's inside of you. He speaks to you through God's word. He speaks to you through other believers, through your small group. Do you listen? That's the question. I had a young man come into my office last Friday, 24 years old. I've seen him grow up in the church. I remember when he was this tall, you know. And he came in for help from me for spiritual counseling. And as he talked and shared his story, the Holy Spirit started shining a light on me and some things in my life. And so, you know, he came to me for help. I don't think I helped him at all. But God really just showed me some things. The Holy Spirit was speaking to me about that. And so the question is, you know, I now have a choice, don't I? Do I respond? Or do I just kind of push it aside like we so often do? Now, I think there are really two areas where I believe the Holy Spirit is always asking us to partner with him in battling the sinful nature. And that is in our actions and in our thoughts. Actions and thoughts. The Bible says, be holy as I am holy. Right? That's action. He says, take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. So our actions and our thoughts. Now, when it comes to our actions, Paul spells out the results of us yielding to the sinful nature. And this is what he says in Galatians 5:19. He says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. So then he gives us this long list of stuff. Okay, he says, sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, bursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Okay, long list of actions. And that's the sinful nature. But then he says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. There's no law against these things. And then he says this, and this verse is in your notes. He says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. He says, since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in one or two areas of our life. No? Every part of our life. Every part of our life. So the Holy Spirit is constantly leading us in our actions. Do you realize that? He's leading us. And the question is, do I yield to his leading or do I fuel the sinful nature, which is opposed to God's purposes in my life? Honestly, I think the battle is lost long before we get to action. I think the battle is mostly lost in our minds, in our thoughts. So often it's our thoughts, what we think about, that leads us into something that we don't want to do. Think about our physical lives. I recently went through a time when I was trying to lose some weight, okay? And this is what I realized about myself. I exercise plenty. I just eat the wrong stuff and too much of it. I'm a foodie. And so I knew that was what I needed to work on, you know, what I eat. Here's what I discovered. It doesn't matter how much resolve I have when it comes to this issue. If I spend the entire morning thinking about food, does anybody else do this, by the way? Am I... thinking about where I could go to lunch, what I could have. By the time lunch gets here, I'm going to go nuts, right? I'm going to get the biggest, juiciest hamburger I can get because my thoughts paved the way for that. That's why lust is such a big deal. A lot of men will say, or women too, lust is no big deal. It doesn't hurt anybody. It's just in my mind. But if it doesn't matter how much I intend to be faithful to my spouse, intend not to commit adultery, you may, if you're single, you may have made a commitment to be sexually pure. But if I constantly fill my mind with lustful thoughts, then when the opportunity arrives, I've paved the way for it. I've broken down all those barriers. It's that much easier to do it. Because thoughts lead to action. Here's what Paul says about that. Romans 8:5. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. Makes sense? But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to what? Death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. So little decisions that we make in our thoughts and our actions either fuel the sinful nature or drive us closer to Jesus Christ. It's not necessarily the big stuff that gets in the way in our lives. Anybody like C.S. Lewis? He's one of my favorite authors. Kind of a heady author. It's sometimes hard to grasp what he's saying, but this quote, I think, is just right on the money when it comes to this battle between the two natures. He says, good and evil both increase at compound interest. That is why the little decisions you and I make every day are of such infinite importance. The smallest good act today is the capture of a strategic point from which you may be able to go on to victories you never dreamed of. An apparently trivial indulgence in lust or anger today is the loss of a ridge or a bridgehead from which the enemy may launch an attack otherwise impossible. Boil that down, all he's saying is little thoughts lead to big actions. So here's the challenge for today. You ready for it? The Holy Spirit, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ today, the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you. There's no doubt about it. He has been attempting to lead you. And there is probably something in your life, maybe a thought pattern, an action of some kind, a habit that has crept in to your life and it is fueling the sinful nature. And it's distracting you from your spiritual growth. And maybe you've just kind of been letting it slide because you didn't realize you're not alone in the battle. You didn't realize you have the Holy Spirit trying to help you with that, right? And with His power. Or maybe you let it slide because this is the first you've ever thought of it. And you're just sitting here this morning and God has kind of spoken to you about that issue. So here's my message to you on that. It's not going to go away on its own. It's not going to just go away. You cannot defeat that thing without the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will not defeat it without you. So what do you do? What do you do? Well, I'd like to use a gardening analogy if I could. Surprise, surprise. I get a lot of flack because I like gardening. But it goes along very well, I think, with what I do for a mission. I nurture souls, nurturing plants. There's a correlation there, I think, for some reason. So I like to grow roses. I like what they produce. They're kind of finicky, though. And every now and then in a rose, anybody grow roses out there besides me? Well, let me describe something for you. Every now and then, this little spindly shoot comes out of the rose, out of the base of the rose, and it grows faster than the rest of the plant, and it's ugly, okay, and it doesn't produce anything. What do they call that little shoot? A sucker. Yeah, a sucker. Why? Because it sucks the life out of the rest of the plant. and it takes the nutrients and the energy and all that kind of stuff, and it diverts it into the ugly part of the plant, depriving the rest of the plant of all that stuff. So if I want my rose bush to thrive and produce, what do I have to do? Prune the sucker, right? Prune it. So our lives are like roses in a lot of ways. I mean, Paul said that we're to produce fruit, good fruit. And every now and then, one of these things will come into our life, an action, a habit, a thought pattern, a sucker, and it will divert our attention away from Christ. And it will take and drive our energy and our time and everything toward things that don't matter and away from the kingdom of God. Now, you probably don't have to think very hard to think of one thing like that, right? In fact, the Holy Spirit has probably already been talking to you about it this morning. You know what the sucker is. So here's my message to you. Prune that sucker, right? Seriously, turn to your neighbor right now. Tell him, prune that sucker. Say it with gusto. Here's an example from my own life, okay? Toward the end of this last year, I started to notice a pattern in my life. And I started getting really negative. Now, I'm by nature a real optimist and positive person, but I started to let some thoughts creep in and started to feed those thoughts, and those thoughts grew and started to permeate into my family and my spiritual life and every realm, work life. And I started to feel like I'm a negative person. And the Holy Spirit was clearly shining a light on that and saying, Brett, you don't want to go that direction. And I didn't know what to do, but I wanted to prune it. And I wanted to partner with the Holy Spirit. So I tried something. I went out and I got a journal, and I set it next to my bed. And for the last 5-6 weeks, every single night, the last thing I do before I go to sleep is I think about the day and I write down what I was thankful for today. What that has done for me is it means that every night, the last thing I'm thinking about before I go to sleep is what I'm thankful for. And the Holy Spirit has taken that and He has used it to prune negativity in my life. So that's just one example, but the Holy Spirit is doing His part in your life. And He is speaking to you, and He wants to partner with you to prune those things that are in the way of your spiritual growth. He wants to awaken your soul to the fact that you're not alone in the battle, and He's actually there. And maybe you've been trying so hard to follow Jesus on your own and not yielding to the Spirit in that way. I think for many of you, it's been a long time since you've allowed the Spirit to awaken your soul. Since you've actually thought about and had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Since you've been filled with the Spirit. And so this morning, the way we're going to end, it's obvious the music team is up here right now. And they're going to lead us in a song that's going to be a prayer for us, okay? Now here's the thing, this is your time. This is your time with the Holy Spirit. So you do whatever you need to do to connect with Him today. If you just want to sit and raise your arms and just kind of wash in His love, you can do that. If you want to sing at the top of your lungs, that's great too. But reach out to the Holy Spirit. Invite the Spirit to fill you. Invite Him to awaken your soul. In addition to that, we're going to have our prayer team up here. We saved prayer for the end tonight so that if there's one particular area of your life that you've been trying to prune and you've been doing it on your own and you want somebody to pray for you in that direction, they're up here as well. So let's stand together and sing together.
Your face when I bow, by knees, I stand before you, and Christ is formed in me.
Aren't you glad you're not alone in the battle? You are not alone. I'd like to dismiss you with a prayer that's found in Romans 15:13, and I want you guys to know this is going to be my prayer for you throughout this week. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you may overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You guys, thanks for coming. Have a great week. We'll see you later.